This call is being recorded.
Good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your dream this morning. Anybody else on the line? Would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Leticia. It's Susie.
Good morning.
And Debbie.
Good morning, Eva.
Good morning, Eva. How are you?
Good morning.
Good. Thanks for joining us. Good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Can anybody else join the line? Would like to say good morning?
Good morning. It's Diane. Good morning, Leticia.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, family. It's Pam.
Good morning, Pam. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
Good. Thank you for asking.
Y'all, good morning, family.
Good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good morning, family. Miss D.
Good morning, Miss D.
Good morning, this is Kendra.
Good morning, Kendra.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. For those who have already joined, and press your standard mute button. It helps us preserve the call as it is being recorded. Good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Did anybody else join the line? I'd like to say good morning.
Yes, good morning. Hi, this is Mona.
Good morning, Mona.
Hi, good morning.
putting this on my desk.
Morning, good morning. Happy Monday. Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Did anybody else join the line? I'd like to say good morning.
Good morning. It's Sister Tracy. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Sister Tracy. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Lavina.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Good morning, Miss Sonia.
Good morning, good morning. Happy Monday. Tisha from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Anybody else join the line? I'd like to say good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Sonia.
Good morning. Happy morning. Would anyone else like to say good morning before I get started? Right. Well, welcome, welcome. Good morning. Happy Monday. I'm Leticia from Arizona. I'm your hostess this morning. Thank you all for joining us. It's a wonderful way to start your week off. Here I declare victory. We're a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific time. We're here to edify, encourage, empower, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed as well. Right now, we are in the season of harvest. The theme for November is growth. Are you growing in Christ? Be sure to tune in daily to hear what the Lord would have us to understand about the importance of growing in and through Him. You don't want to miss teaching. Can I ask for somebody to please mute their phone? At this time, everybody can just double check your phone. Make sure that the standard mute button is pushed. Gladly appreciate it. Be sure to tune in because you don't want to miss the teachings, the stories, and the lessons that the declarers are preparing as they hear from God for His people this month. We have one announcement today. Thank you to all who have made a decision to partner with Declare Victory in growing and giving. Your contributions and assistance is helping us maintain the causes as well as provide food for the homeless, college books for students, also their supplies, and emergency assistance for individuals and families in crisis. We pray that your seed is multiplied in excess. Also, it is now open enrollment at your employers. Please see your HR department for the necessary forms for your employer to donate. If you would like to donate, visit our website at declarevictory.org or our PayPal account at paypal.me/declarevictory. Your donation is fully tax deductible and will help prepare the house for the work that the Lord has planned for Declare Victory. We do have one prayer request from the app, and it is from Sister Susie. She would like us to pray for Ray Grimes. Continue to keep him in our prayers. He has the flu, and he is very ill. There is one praise report, also reported by Sister Susie, the gentleman Bill Conover that we prayed for last week. He is now out of the hospital and home. The order of the call today is the declaration will be done by Sister Raven, praying and leading us in corporate praise will be done by Sister Beverly. Then we'll go right into our closing comments hosted by the declarer, Sister Beverly. Again, the declaration will be done by Sister Raven. Praying and leading us in corporate praise will be done by Sister Beverly. Immediately after that, we'll go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer, Sister Beverly. At this time,
Raven will be hosting the discussion. Just wanted to add that. Thank you.
At this time, I ask that everybody please take a minute to look at your phones to make sure that the standard mute button is pressed as the call is being recorded and it preserves the integrity of it. Thank you all for joining us. Have a blessed Monday.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Oh, man, it's a pleasure to be back with you all. I just want to say that I appreciate the invitation and appreciate the open door. And this morning, it's really, really bright and early for me, but I am here. And let's get started. So I know the theme for this month is grow. And so my objective was to talk a little bit about growing our perspective. That's very important, especially when we profess salvation or we profess a relationship with Christ, that we grow our perspective over the time that we spend with God through reading our word, through prayer, through fasting, through our communication with our friends, our relatives, family, you know, growing our perspective as it relates to work relationships, etc. So I really wanted to touch on that to hopefully help somebody and help myself also. So the word says, or the word good shows up in the Bible over 700 times in the King James Version. So we're going to focus on good. We're going to focus on good, 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 good. God is good, so we're going to focus on good. Okay. So there's several greetings that we all possess or that we all use on a day-to-day basis that we really don't even entertain much about the meaning and the purpose of them. So I'm going to speak on those for a minute, and then we're going to go into some scriptures that support the fact that we need to grow our perspective. So these greetings, we have good morning, we have good day, good afternoon, good night, good evening. In Spanish, we have buenos noches, buenos dias. I mean, it goes on. So we have them in English, we have them in Spanish, we have them in French, in every language. But the objective that I want to bring here is that the word good exists in these greetings. So that's the importance here. I'm going to break it down a little bit. So when we say, when we greet people with these statements, these affirmations or declarations, what we're doing is we're saying, we're speaking over our lives, we're speaking over others' lives, and we're speaking over the day and the days ahead. We are speaking positivity over the person that we're greeting. However, many of us don't really take into consideration what we're speaking. We don't practice believing, we just practice the tradition of saying it. We're not being intentional as we should. We should have more intentions about what we're doing, or excuse me, what we're saying and what we mean when we're saying these things. So every morning my kids and I wake up, I have three kids. I have an 8-year-old, one who's almost three, and then I have a 1-year-old son. And so every morning my kids and I get up and we speak life together. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, for God created 7 days and they were all very good. We say those lines every single morning. I don't care what my kids are doing. They got to say that before they do anything. And sometimes it gets on their nerves because they feel like little robots. But we do this because I'm instilling in them the importance of waking up with positive declarations and showing them that the power of life lies in their tongue. Yes, the power of life and death lies in the power of the tongue. But if we focus on speaking life, then death The power of death in the tongue doesn't exist, if that makes sense. And I'll bring that to light more as we continue. However, if they practice it now, then they won't struggle to believe it as teenagers, and then they won't fear it as adults. They won't fear speaking life over themselves, over their friends. They won't fear prayer. They won't fear supplication and fervence. They won't fear those things if they start off at these young ages. So throughout the entire first chapter of Genesis, the Bible paints a picture of how God created earth, separated light from dark. He separated the sky from the sea. He created seeds of nature. He created mankind, beasts, water, etc. However, the best part is that at the end of each verse, the Bible reads, "And it was very good." And at the end of each day, and at the start of new creation, we see it was very good. Okay, so that's what we're going to focus on. It's all good. Okay, remember that. It's all good. So, however, in light of that, we still walk around in negative declarations like, "I'm having a horrible day," or "I'm having a bad day." You hear people say that all the time. Well, actually, there's a newsflash. You're not really having a horrible day. You had a horrible experience at some point during the day, and you chose to sulk and dig a pit for your feelings. Like, that's just the reality. We've all done it at some point, so don't feel bad if you've done it, because I've done it also. And then newsflash number two is, no verse in the Bible says that any of the 7 days created were bad. It clearly reads, "And it was very good." It was very good. It wasn't just good. It wasn't good good, but it was very good. Okay? So then we have newsflash number three. We don't own any of the days to even have the capacity to say things like, "I'm having a bad day." So it's important that we stop trying to possess what does not belong to us. These days that were created belong to the actual creator. They belong to God, not you, not me, not James, John, Jacob, Dick, or Harry. Okay. So we take advantage of the days in which God allows us grace and mercy afresh. Every day that we wake up, we yawn with morning breath. That's a blessing. And so we have to begin to practice being intentional with even the smallest of things, like waking up to a new day. Some people take that completely for granted. They wake up cussing, fussing, you know, yelling, spitting, and spewing out demons all over the house instead of giving God the honor that he deserves and acknowledging the blessing and the gift of a new day. So how would you feel? I want you guys to think about this as I'm talking. How would you feel if you gave me a gift, I took it, I opened it, and then I said it was a bad gift? After you spent your hard time, your earned money, you put your efforts into it, and I said it was a bad gift. You probably feel like you never wanted to give me anything else. So just imagine how God feels when we talk poorly about the days that he created. It probably makes him feel underappreciated. Excuse me. In fact, I'm sure he does feel underappreciated. Because for one, we don't even deserve the day he's given us. We don't deserve yesterday. We don't deserve the day before that. We don't deserve this moment right here to be on Declare Victory, declaring the victory over our lives and over our it and over our situations and over our futures and over our past hurts and pains and trials and even the triumphs. And we already don't deserve, we don't deserve life itself, but the gift of life is the greatest thing that we could ever receive. And God at least deserves the credit for adding time and moments and days to our lives. He deserves that. However, many of the following scriptures, we sing to them, we read them, we study them, but then we lack basic spiritual application because we don't fully understand them. I'm going to read some of these scriptures. We don't truly value the weight that they carry to aid in changing our lives. We lack knowledge, actually, that they are actual reminders of the declarations and the affirmations that we should be repeating to keep ourselves focused on the light of Jesus instead of the sting of our pain. So there's several scriptures that I want to read. There's actually, I believe, four of them. And in these four, I'd like for all of us to just take a moment and to just think about really what they mean. And then if you like to write them down, that's excellent. I'm not pushing anyone to write them down, but if you feel led to write them down, great. I just want us to come to a point where we start to understand what we're singing, and we're understanding what we're reading, what we're saying, and what we're quoting to others in their times of need. Because it doesn't, it's great to be able to speak the words of God to someone else, but it's different when it's an application needed in our own lives and we're able to put it into play and God is able to see us practicing what we preach, so to speak. So James 1 and 17 says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God. So the brand new day is a good and perfect gift coming down from God. But let's establish that. There is no bad days, right? No matter what I'm going through, it's not bad. It's good. Okay, and I'll tell you why it's good, because in Romans 8:28 it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called or are the called according to his purpose, which means it doesn't necessarily have to feel good, but it is good. It's going to work together for good. So we have to look at the outcome instead of the feeling of the situation while we're in it. It's weird, or it reminds me of when you're walking, if anybody's ever walked through a tunnel at night, and while you're walking through that tunnel, it's really dark. It doesn't matter how bright it is outside, how light it is outside. When you're walking through a tunnel, nothing else matters, right? You're walking through a tunnel and you can't wait to get to the other side. At least for me, I'm a little scary. So, you know, the dark and me, we get along when we're in the house. But if I'm outside of the house, my peepers are all the way on if I'm outside in the dark. But as a teenager, I walked a lot before I got my license. And so walking through a tunnel would freak me out because it's like there's nowhere to go. You either go forward or you go backward. You can't run into a bush. If something were to come out after you, it's you and that thing in that tunnel. So I understand that our experiences in life cause us to feel like we're in a tunnel. We're surrounded by things that make us feel like we don't have a way out. But the choice is either to go forward or it's to go backward. Forward is good, okay? Backward is never good because backward takes us away from what God is trying to push us to. He's never going to pull us backwards. He's not a backwards God. He's a forward God. He's a forward thinker. He's a good God, okay? And so Psalms 119 and 71 declares, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So if you walk upright, you do what you're supposed to do, and you focus on the things of him, he's not going to even hold any good thing from you. It mentions nothing about bad, right? It says no good thing will he withhold from you, which means going back to James, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming from God down to us. It's coming down to earth, right? Whatever the good thing is, it's coming. It doesn't say anything about a bad thing. So then being in that tunnel, that valley, where it looks like there's nothing around you that can help you when it feels like God has left you alone and he's leaving you in that wilderness, he's still there because he's the sun and shield. There may be something in between that sun and shield that's preventing you from receiving that feeling that God is there protecting or giving his hand over you. However, he's there. And sometimes it's us that's between the sun and shield. We have to remove those layers of us that we've created, that we've built over ourselves, that shell that we've put us in, that tunnel that we got ourselves into. Nobody else got us in that tunnel. Okay? It was a choice. We didn't have to go in there. So the fact that we did, we have to see good in it. Psalms 119 and 71 again says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Just walk uprightly. It's all coming. Okay. And so our job is to change our perspective. It's our job. We have to change our perspective. If we don't change our perspective, we can't expect God to perform amazing miracles that we've never seen before. Okay. It doesn't it won't happen that way. God has something for us to do, and we can't expect him to do stuff for free, so to speak. Okay? So we have to remember those things. And in that, it's our job to grow our perspective by not feeding into the negative seeds that have been planted by Satan and sometimes our own selves and even loved ones and sometimes our boss or people that we dislike. And then notice that in each of these verses, there is the word good. And let me just kind of touch on that a little bit. So the word good is provided by God. However, it's relative to a thing or a situation in these verses. Then the word good is followed by an expectation of action from us or a confirmation of God's actual position. So he's either a certain, he's throwing his weight around in these verses to say, look, I'm the sun and the shield. So all you got to do is walk uprightly and I got you with all the good things. Don't that sound so simple? It sounds simple. However, we magnify things and make them bigger than what they are when it comes to the action that we're supposed to put into play to receive the things of God. We complicate things on a whole nother level. So whatever your it is, if God allowed it, then it's good, right? So remember the verse where it says, it was good for me to be afflicted that I might learn your decrees. It was good that I'd be afflicted. It was good that I experienced that thing that hurt me, because then I could learn your decrees. I could learn your word. I could understand your word better and why it says this is good. If I've not been in the valley, then I'll have no idea what it's like to be on the mountaintop. If I've never experienced pain, then I will never know what it's like to feel a miracle. I'll never understand a miracle. I'll never understand triumph if I've never experienced a trial, right? So if God is so good, then that means his will is good also. And what he allows is good. What he permits is good. In fact, if God allowed it and it's good, then it's serving a purpose to get glory for God and give glory to God. But it's up to us to give that voluntary glory to God. Either way, God's going to get the glory, though. He's going to get it one way or the other because he's the one and only God. He's selfish. He's all about him. He wants that glory because he deserves it. Look, for God to have created all 7 days, ain't nobody, no other idol, no God, no nobody has any right in the Quran. And this is no criticism to any other religion, but this is why I can confidently affirm myself and root myself in Christianity and in my Bible. No Allah, no Buddha, and any other a pagan God, no other God has even professed to create the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the earth. They don't have the capacity to say that. Only the God that we serve, the God of salvation, is the God that can say that, because he is the one and true living God. And so when we're discussing the word good, it doesn't mean that things will always feel good. It doesn't mean that it will always feel perfect, because God isn't predicated on our feelings. Goodness isn't predicated on our feelings. But the things that may not feel good, that are perfect, they will be that which God has designed them to be for who it was designed to be for. Because God is constant. God is consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was good yesterday, he's good today, and he's going to be good tomorrow and the days after. If I died right now in this moment, God will still be good. It would be hard for my family to see the good in the death, but there's going to be a lesson. And if there's a lesson, it's good. It's all good. We are required to be faithful and trust him through all and in all. And once we grasp that concept, things in life will seem that we face that feel large. They'll become finite to us because we understand that our God is greater than any problem. He's better. He's gooder. Like, I've heard my Aunt Tanya say that. God is gooder. Like, oh, he good. You know, he that good that you can make words and add consonants and vowels at the end of the word good and say gooder. Like, he gooder. Okay, he gooder than all this. So these good things that we experience are it that we hide under as negative things and we put negative value on. Those things are actually designated to teach us adequate life lessons about defining optimism and positivity versus pessimism and negativity. Although we profess salvation, some of us can be quite negative at the complete wrong times. Like, why are you, if somebody says, you know, I'm having a bad day, why are you feeding into that? Girl, that's because you, blah, blah, blah. Ain't nobody asked you to speak over them to add on to the negativity of why they're having a bad day. No, it's your job and your mandate to completely derail those negative thoughts and not give the devil any credit over the day that he didn't create, right? So the fact that we still serve a good God who is faithful and just, and regardless of the hardships and trials we face, he deserves that. His goodness is forever. He possesses the utmost longevity. His goodness is never predicated on our attitudes, our experience, our feelings, our emotions, or our thoughts. He's been good forever. He will remain good forever because he's God. So we have to start shifting our focus and growing our perspective so that God sees a different level of faith in each of us. That's our job. We have to ask God to help our unbelief. God, help me to overshadow negative thoughts with positive affirmations over my life, over my family, over my boss, my job, my position, my kids, my future, my situation. Look, my church, my friends, my spouse, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, whoever you are. You have to start speaking those things that are not as though they were, meaning not that they are, but that they already happened. That's why we use the word words in the Bible to foreshadow things that have not yet taken place, but we're decreeing them and we're speaking them into existence as if they've already passed. Because it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. All of it is good. Anything that happens to you is good. It may not feel good. Don't forget that. It may not feel good, but you have to be able to see the good in things. That's part of the Christian journey, is seeing the good in things that don't feel right. Be it a death of a child, be it the death of a parent or another loved one, that you lost your job. Well, think about it. What happens if you change your perspective, right? If you grow your perspective and you did lose your job, that just means that you ran your course there. And there's something, whenever God allows something to be taken from us or to be removed, I won't say taken, be removed, what he's really doing is he's taking us and positioning us for something that is completely better than what we ever thought or imagined. And the Bible says that because he operates on a greater level than we have the capacity to think or imagine. He's too good. He's too good to allow us to settle for things that he doesn't have his complete hand over. We don't want to slip into his permissive will. I always say I want to be in God's divine will. I don't want to be where he let me slide. I want to be where he is the slide to where I'm going. Okay, so let's constantly grow our perspective and remember that good shows up in the Bible over 700 times. That's a lot of times. So that must mean something really is good. My affliction is good. The things that I'm going through in my body, it's good that I'm going through, is because it's going to show me the goodness of God. It's going to help me to remember God's decrees. It's going to help me live out God's decrees so that I can be a better testimony to someone else who may be going to go through this 10 years from now. So it was a beautiful, beautiful experience to be able to share with you all. And I now pass the call to Beverly.
Good morning, Heavenly Father. We just come saying thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for allowing us to get up and breathe the breath of life. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us to one more time be able to speak to you and say thank you. Father God, in your glorious name, thank you for this amazing grace in our lives. Lord, help us to understand you. Help us to see the minute we start placing our spiritual growth in something else, our careers, our gifts and talents, our mates and spouses, our peers. Help us in those moments to remember that all those things, even though they are good gifts, will never satisfy the way you will help us to keep you before us in all things. Let us live without doubt. Recognize your voice, God. Thank you for the standing on your word. Thank you, Father God. use our born supremacy, Father God. We thank you, Father, as we enter in yet again, as we stand before you, as we come presenting ourselves, God, as your vessel to be used by you. Fill us, God, with your word, your instruction, the way you want it done. So this morning, Lord, as we bow to you, allow us to be used by you. We thank you that your word will not come back void. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Father, when we kneel down before you, enlighten us what is dark in us. Strengthen what is weak. Mend what is broken. Heal what is sick. And reserve whatever peace and love that dies. Thank you for today. Thank you for the air we breathe. Thank you for giving us friends and family. Thank you for your sufficient grace. May your name be praised forever. Let us turn our worries over to you. Give us strength to face life with optimism and faith with passion and joy. God, thank you for putting people in my life on purpose, in our lives on purpose. I thank you, Father God. We confess as a team, Father God, declare victory, that we will take on the form of your servant, being humble, obedient, with no reputation, Lord. We know that there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit, we confess that we will operate as one body in this ministry. We confess that the manifestation of your spirit is given to each one of us for the profit of all. Somebody mute your line, please. We will be diligent and fervent in prayer and spirit as we serve. We will rejoice in hope, remain patient in tribulation, and continue steadfast in prayer. Father God, we just thank you. Please give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge, because the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened so that we may know what is the hope of your calling. Give us your wisdom from above that is pure, peaceful, gentle, and without partiality and hypocrisy. Please bless our families, our homes, and our jobs, and the jobs of each of us on this line. Lord, we ask that you send more laborers to serve with you, with us, for your kingdom. Father God, I pray for healing in the bodies of those that are sick. I pray for those who are shut in, Father God, and who are not able to get up and get out and do the things that they're normally used to doing. I pray for Brother Raymond Grimes and his flu, Father God, heal his body completely. And I thank you, Father God, for that Mr. Conover is home safe. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus for all that you are about to do, the victories that are about to be won, Father. When we kneel down before you, enlighten what is dark in us, strengthen what is weak, Father God. We thank you, God. I thank you right now, Father God. We ask forgiveness for our sins. Forgive us for not praying without ceasing. Forgive us for not keeping our spirit man strong and vibrant with your word. Forgive us for the times when we have depended on our intellect and talents, but not on your wisdom. Father God, forgive us for speaking too much and not listening enough. Forgive us for not operating in the fruit of your spirit. Forgive us for our wrongdoing, self-ambition, pride, disobedience, gossip, perversion, and any act of sinfulness. Father God, we thank you. Lord, remind us of those we need to forgive, and help us to be quick to forgive. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, you are our stronghold. The heavens declare your glory, and the skies proclaim the work of your hands. You are the Lord Most High, the great King over the earth. Lord, you are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. You created all things by your will. We thank you, God. We thank you, Father God, for the word. We thank you for the book that has given us the instructions to be able to live this life. We thank you, Father God, as we wake up and we remind ourselves that the book is what we need in order to grow. I thank you, God. I thank you for the good and perfect will, for the grace and glory, for the miracles, for your permissive will. I thank you, Father God, for all. As we take our phones off mute, give God the glory, give God the praise, and thank him. Thank him for all that we are about to do, Father God. Thank you for this day. Thank you for walking through the
Heavenly Father, I come before you humbly this morning.
Thank you right now.
I call given, Father God.
We thank you,
Lord.
Thank you for waking up.
You have drawn me into my flesh, into myself.
Thank you, Jesus. Always
thank you, Father.
Building up others, casting our cares on you.
Thank you, Father.
Delighting in your will, Father God. We thank you right now. Forgive us as we have been forgiven.
Forgive me,
stand and intercede for those that are
generous, tell the truth,
Glory, 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 glory unto you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
Assessment. Nobody actually has to answer this question if you don't feel comfortable. If it's just, like I said, it's a personal assessment. So this might be something you want to just reflect on whenever you feel the need to reflect on it. And it's just, in what area of my thinking is God pulling me to grow my perspective? In what area of my thinking is God pulling me to grow my perspective? What I mean by that is, what area is God been tugging on you and tapping on you to say, hey, you need to fix that, you know? Or if you've been constantly feeling a sense of conviction when you do a particular thing or say a particular thing, and he knows and he's expecting you to grow in that area, something that you might have been dealing with throughout the years. Just think about that. If anybody wants to share, the floor is open. If anybody has any questions about what I shared this morning, feel free. I'm an open book, and we can just flood and just flow. This morning, I decided to just kind of go off the dome. That's what my generation likes to say. We go off the dome. But if anybody has any questions or any points they would like to make, any just nuggets you want to bring out, anything that you heard God speaking while I was speaking, anything, like let's share and, you know, kind of pull on each other right now. But that is a personal assessment question that anybody would like to address. You can, or if you want to make it a personal assessment as it's meant to be, and you just want to keep that to yourself and between you and the Lord, that's totally okay also. Floor is open.
Hey, good morning. Raven. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. My name is Yolandra, and great question. But most of all, I just want to say that I really thoroughly enjoyed your declaration this morning, expounding on good and different ways to look at it. And, you know, because I went through a couple of what I thought were bad days over the weekend. I was just really, really, really depressed. And I was thinking about how my life is good, right? But I had this shadow of darkness on my spirit over the weekend to the point where, you know, I didn't think about, you know, committing suicide. I've never thought about that. But a thought did come to me where I thought, if this is how people feel, if this feeling I'm feeling is magnified 1,000 times, I can understand how a person could be so dark and desolate where they would want to take their life, you know. And I just couldn't get through this feeling. It was this biological, I was just sad. And but the praise is that I was able in the midst of that to reach out to my sister who has great faith, and she's a prayer warrior, and I called her and we talked about it and we prayed about it, and I prayed myself into tears, you know. But it was, God is so good, because it's like when I got that phone call from her praising God, praying, and, you know, I felt better. And the next day when I woke up, that feeling, it's indescribable how I was feeling, but I didn't have that feeling when I hung up the phone. It was lifted from me, and I didn't feel like that the next day, which was yesterday. So thank you for that. I just want to pray. It's so important to praise God even when we're going through it, right? That's so important. I think that's a great example, a demonstration of faith. And I just want to put this out here. If everyone on Declare Victory would be so kind to pray for Valerie Cooper, one of my best friends. Her son died yesterday of a drug overdose. So please pray for her. Pray for him and his spirit, the family. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for sharing. I want to, before the next person goes, I just wanted to bring something to light based on what you said. So as you were speaking, when you started talking about how you felt that heaviness and you felt burdened down and weighed down with a particular weight, the Holy Spirit really just kind of urged me to ask if you had been dealing with loss or whether it be previous. But then you spoke and said that your friend, her son, passed away yesterday. So pay attention to those feelings. Sometimes that is God trying to reveal something to us through a way of feeling. Feelings are important to us, because if we don't feel, then God has no, he can't reach us. He has to be able to reach us so that we can feel him and feel his love. But also, there are some feelings that are there to prepare us and to help us through a situation that we could potentially be grieving and not understand grieving. Some people go through loss, and over the years, they don't forget the loss. However, that same time of year, each year, their spirit is grieving. So don't take it lightly that you felt that way and then the event happened with your friend's son. I just want to encourage you and urge you to, and if you haven't already, pray with her, because you can help pull her through that feeling that she's probably feeling, that heaviness or a greater burden for her son, her child, was taken. So that's something that, you know, I just, you know, I felt that the urge to say that to you, and I'll be praying for her and you as well, that, you know, God would continue to overshadow with his comfort and his love during this time. The holidays are really hard for people, especially people who've been dealing with loss of children, parents, any loved one of any sort. The holidays can be really, really hard. So, you know, don't take those feelings lightly. But I'm glad you were able to reach out to someone who cared enough and who had a relationship with Christ to be able to pray you through that feeling.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, sister. This is Dee Dee. Thank you for that just right on time reminder about each day being a gift, and how you, the analogy of someone giving you a gift, and it is. And I have gone through so much, and everybody on Declare Victory knows how I am. I lost my best friend in August, and this is the first time I really have allowed myself to go through the process, because trying to hurry up and get through it for other people is what I've done. I turned 51 on November 10th, and so I've always been thank you, sweetie. I've always been like, how do I say it? Just the one that wanted everybody else to feel better, if that makes any sense. So I'm at everybody's deathbed, everybody's, you know, my kids are like, Mom, you can't, you know, you're going to wear yourself out. But I understand how I'm wired, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm, but I think when we've been told, you know, moan, you know, don't mourn like the world and just get through it. Because a lot of times people will want you to get through it so they'll be comfortable. Right. But I've had to really, and I just told my daughter the other day, every day is a new day. When God gives us breath, we have to rejoice in that, because nothing's promised. Yesterday is over. Tomorrow is not promised. There's nothing we can do but rejoice and open the gift of life. And it's no matter what, to count it all joy. And it's not easy, but it's necessary, because each breath is like, I really get it now. Like, I used to take things for granted, but I don't take anything for granted anymore. The ability to even feel pain. I'm like, this morning I woke up and I had some new pains. I was like, oh, I'm alive. Thank you, Jesus. I went to boot camp. Yes. I almost died there, but I went, and I'm so grateful just for each day. You know what I mean? And it's hard, and in grief is hard. So I, too, will be lifting up your friend, Yolanda, because that's the hardest pain. I love you, and thank you for that word, sister. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for responding. Anybody else? Okay, for a moment, I just want to expound on actually what Didi just said. Something just kind of dropped on me about how we tend to rush grief. We're not going to spend too much time on grief because we're talking about the goodness, right? However, I do want to just bring a light to how grief, how we can turn that thing around. So it is important that we experience grief. Example, Jesus experienced grief. He lost Lazarus. That was his friend. That was his boy, right? And it was symbolic when he raised Lazarus from the dead. It was symbolic for himself, because he had been experiencing grief. He was able to lift himself up out of grief by resurrecting his friend. So what I mean by that for us is that if we allow grief to take its process and its course, Jesus could have rushed through the process of grief and be like, nah, I'm not even going to cry. I'm just about to raise him up before I even get to that point. He didn't do that. He experienced the emotions. Okay, so the emotions are fine. We just can't sit there. We can't wallow in it. We can't swim in it. That's not where we belong. We belong magnifying the good in the thing, right? There's good even in death. It doesn't feel like it, but there's something that God is trying to show us or teach us even in loss, okay? And so even if that means appreciating the value of life that we've never appreciated before the moment where we realize that someone passed away or that they became a paraplegic, and now the pain that I feel is, I'm able to appreciate that because this person can't feel their legs at all. So when I wake up in the morning and my hip hurt, God, I thank you for the pain that I can feel. You know, I can feel the hurt. You know, it keeps me humble. You know, so we have to take the perspective that Jesus had, and although he felt that hurt and that pain, he lifted his own burden by raising his friend up. So what I mean by that is, for us, we can experience the grief, go through the process. That's fine. Don't wallow in it, but allow Jesus to lift you up out of that thing. Okay, allow him to revive you from the weight of the situation that has gotten you burdened down. Right, because he's no burden bearer. He's the heavy load sharer. We don't have to deal with that. We choose to pack ourselves down with these things. And like her, I am the strong friend. Like, I don't like for people to see me hurting. I don't like for people to see me in pain, because I'm always the one who's like, oh, my God, girl, what am I supposed to do? They're always coming to me saying that. And it's like, okay, I always got an answer. But usually those people are the ones that have magnified trials when it comes to having to deal with your own medicine. And what I mean by that is you dishing it out, but now you have to be able to take your own medicine, which is the word, right? I can hand out a whole bunch of prescriptions, but if I'm dealing with something, I have to be able to take my own prescription, right? And if I'm prescribing Jesus, I got to be able to take Jesus. All right. Anybody else want to share?
Hello. Hey, good morning. This is Mona.
Good morning.
Could you hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just want to just say thank you first. I like your how you the morning when you sit up with your kids. I like the whole thing. Don't get me wrong, thanking the Holy Spirit for you on this morning. But just how you said, it made me think about that. That's so important, you know. Just with my son, I just do make sure that he seeks the kingdom of God. Of course, he prays, but I'm gonna definitely start doing the good, because he wakes up sometimes so grouchy, but I would remind him, you know, that is good. Of course, I'm gonna do it myself too. Because that's a good positive way to go about your day, especially for me when I was such a negative, you know, person, a negative thinker. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah,
I was such always in that could be a spirit type of mind before. So, you know, I was, you know, coming out of that growing, I, you know, been definitely trying to block the negative, telling myself, no, Mona, you know, that's negative, you know, be positive, what the positive thing in it, you know, or the good, as we would say, the good in it. So, you know, I could definitely see the difference in that. So now I'm going to even go to more of what you're saying, get up in the morning. Just immediately go to that scripture and remind myself and my kids that it's good. It's good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the most blessing thing that I for sure got out of that for sure this morning. And I just, you know, just like I said, the whole thing, but the main thing is that it's good. Not waking up, that's good. You just got blessed. That's a gift.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
The little thing you take for granted, ain't it something? The little thing you
take.
Yeah, I understand. You know, I
didn't even think
so much. Like, wake up, you know, like, you know, I wake up like, no, I'm going to wake up and say, I'm going to rebuke them immediately. It's good.
Mm-hmm. It is. And don't take it lightly. And I know you said you battled previously with negative thoughts. So what sometimes the enemy can use, that the thing that we've overcome, sometimes he'll try to plant those same seeds in our, the fact that we've overcome it, and he'll try to bring those things back into our lives and try to plant those thoughts to overshadow even the good thoughts that we're trying to have. So just if that ever happens to you, just remember Philippians 2:5, where it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So even though it's good, I still want to continue to remember why it's good, because my mind is in you. My mind is also in Christ Jesus. So if you continue to declare that it's good and you continue to speak those things and find scriptures that mean something, you know, there's tons of scriptures in the Bible. There's 66 books in here. So if you want to find what suits you and what speaks to you personally, feel free to go through and find whatever it is and everything that is that speaks to you on a personal basis that helps you in those moments and that helps to create a new atmosphere for you to be a forward thinker and being to experience growing your own perspective. Thank you so much for sharing, Mona.
Thank you. I'm definitely going to do that, too. That's a good thing.
Most definitely. Anybody else want to share?
Good morning.
Yes,
good morning. This is Trilling. Listen, I enjoyed the whole declaration, but what stood out most to me is in trusting in all, because God said 700 times it's good. So when we trust in all, it raises our level of faith with Him and within ourselves. So that spoke volumes to me, but the whole declaration was right on time for me. And I'll go on mute. Thank you.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for allowing me the time to share. Right. Anybody else? I think I heard another speaker who was trying to join and you guys were speaking at the same time. You can go ahead now.
Amen. This is Lavina.
Hi, Lavina.
Good morning. My favorite out of your declaration, I love the word, Psalms 119:71, and that it is good that I had been afflicted, that I might learn the statute, learn by statute. And that just that one word, statue, is a carved or cast figure. And so in that, God is carving us, and he's making us into his mirror image. And a lot of us don't want to go through the process, but it is good that we go through the process of that. And I like that. Good. Yeah, that's good. God bless you.
Thank you so much. You too. Thank you. Anybody else?
Good morning. It's Misty.
Good morning, Misty. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty well this morning. I was with, is that Elandra who mentioned her friend's son? I was with that family yesterday, and okay. And one of the other families whose 15-month-old child died at a hit and run.
Wow.
I just thank God for what you said. You said a couple of things that triggered for me, and I had been writing, getting ready for tomorrow's declaration. One, you used the word intentional several times when you were speaking, being intentional to hear our own self speak and the words that we speak out loud, even the things that we think internally, and being intentional in the space that we are in. And you talked about, you know, if someone comes up and they start talking about a bad day, you jump in right there with them, being intentional to hear. Mm-hmm. It allows me to make sure, for one, if I'm intentionally listening and observing what's going on around me, to be silent when I need to be silent and know when to speak and what to speak before, yes, I open my mouth. I'm in a lot of critical situations, and I hear people speaking a lot of words that people can't hear, or they're not fitting to the circumstances that we're sitting in. People who are believers who come also with tons of words, and they just don't fit that crisis that we're standing in at the time. And changing that language and reminding yourself that a bad or a misdeed or a misexperience does not constitute, right, the day. I have a practice of doing that. You know, if it comes, I'm like, oh, stop, control or delete. This goes
right
there. It's just one part of my day, and I can restart my day all day long in order to stay in that it's a good day. It's a good morning, and being a blessing to myself as well as those I come in contact with. Again, words are something that I really listen for. I intentionally listen to hear the Lord speak to me through others, through the words they use. And that word intentional was really powerful today. Being intentionally a disciple of Christ, being intentionally aware that whatever transpires around me, it is good in God's sight, and it's good with me, and it is well with my soul. So thank you this morning for emphasizing that word so many times during your declaration this morning. God bless you. I heard what you said about you and your children. I remember doing that with my children when they were young. I thank God for pouring into them and remembering, even right now, when things are not so good, that I brought up the child in the way they should go, like my grandma did. And when I strayed away, I had a place to go back to. I believe that I have to also remember that sometimes, just like I did, I strayed. But because of what was poured into me as a child, I knew the way to come back. And calling on the name of Jesus saved my life. So I know with the not so good right now, that it's all good, because God is still in control of the outcome of their lives, just as he was with mine. God bless you, sister, and have a beautiful day. Thank you.
You too. Thank you so much. So I wanted to, that just brought something to my mind about, she just said that we're to be disciples. We're supposed to be witnesses, right? We're to be witnesses, disciples, examples to people who don't know Christ and those who are struggling in their knowledge of Christ. So if we are that, which we say we are and what we believe we are and who God says we are, then it's our mandate to be that example that they need in those moments where a person is speaking down or speaking bad. Sometimes God allows us to be in situations to see how we're going to take care of it. If we're going to do the right thing, if we're going to speak well of him, or if we're going to allow the moment to be given over to the devil, if we're going to allow self to come in and water God's goodness down in our lives. So we have to take a stand against those feelings and those thoughts that come to distract us, because that's all it is a distraction from the goodness of God. It's a distraction. I mean, you know, somebody might say, oh, that's deep. No, for real, life is deep. Okay, life is deep. You know, we make shallow out of it because we take things too lightly when it comes to our walks and the way we think, the way we talk, who we are. If we consider more of the depths of who we are then people would understand who God is more and on a regular basis through who we are. And so when we're walking around and we're, you know, we're handling people, and we're, especially if you deal in community service or human resources, things that are constant, contact with people, it's important that your perspective reflects the perspective of Christ. It's important because what sometimes we don't really realize is that even if it's not them, if it's us, we can push off that idea and that feeling and that thought onto somebody else who probably otherwise could have been having a good day. But then they came in contact with us in our moody, stinking attitude, and it's like, ooh, I need to get away from you because, you know, you ain't helping me right now. You know, you're killing my whole mood. You're killing my vibe. We've heard that a lot, like, oh, stay away from so-and-so because they always got something negative to say. That person needs to grow their perspective. Those people need to grow their perspective, you know, and it doesn't make them a bad person. It just means that their thoughts are not aligning with who they say they are. So anybody else want to share? Anybody else? If not, I will repeat the assessment. We have a personal assessment that is on the floor, and it could just be, you don't have to respond to it. But the personal assessment is, in what area of my personality, in what area in my thinking is God pulling me to grow my perspective? And in that, I'm going to pull up the definition of grow so we can assess that. So the word grow means to undergo natural development by increasing in size, changing physically, or progress to maturity. However, it refers to a living thing. When I think about growth, I think about plants a lot. I always think about plants for some reason. I don't think about humans first. For some reason, I go to plants, and I'm not even I don't have a green thumb in me, but I think about plants. So when I think about the plants, I think about how they go from, it starts off with a seed, and then there takes some watering and some dirt and some sunlight and some watering, more watering and sunlight and oxygen, and that seed starts to develop roots, and they sprout into what appears to be a bud, and then the buds turn into flowers or whatever kind of plant, and then it grows and it gets larger, and it magnifies, it starts to mature, and it gets stronger, and the roots grow down as the plant grows up. So what's growing above ground is also reflected on what's under the ground. So when you think about that, think about you, okay? Think about the situations or your life in general. As you're growing up in God, you should also be growing deeper in God, okay? As you're growing up in your salvation, your depth, your roots should be rooted in God. Like, we have to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. One plants, the other one waters, but God makes the increase. That's Bible. So we have to see ourselves in the growth and growing process. See yourself as a plant or a tree. Trees have firm foundation and roots. I think it's amazing that I don't care how many tornadoes come to an area, it's always one tree standing. Whenever I see the news, and sometimes it's more, but I mean that to say that all of the trees aren't wiped away in a flood, in a tornado, in a hurricane. Usually there's like one that's hanging on. It might be hanging on by the hair to chinny chin chin, but it's there and it's standing there. And it's like, look, you didn't take me out. That's what we have to be. We have to be that tree that stands the test of time, that stands through the storms, the fire, the rain, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the tsunamis. We have to be that because through our lives, there's going to be magnified situations that come to try to take us out, because Satan's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. However, if he finds out he can't steal from you, then he'll try to kill you. If he can't kill you, then he tries to destroy you. That's his objective. That's his motive. And he's the opposer. He's the one that's against us. He's no opposition to God because he's no competition. There are no equal. Okay. However, God has the power to uplift us and to sustain us if we want to be sustained and kept. But we have to continue to grow our perspective throughout our lives, throughout our days. It's important we start small. Start with a moment. Start with a day. Start with a week. Start with a month. start with a year, you know, and then grow into 5 years and grow into 10 years. We have to start small because, okay, I'm 30 years old, right? But it took me to get to this point for me to learn that my perspective grows as I grow. At least it should. You know, if I'm 50 years old still thinking like a 30-year-old, then my perspective is not changing. My body and my physicality is changing, but my mind isn't growing with my body. I'm not maturing enough. And that's all growing is. It's maturing. So anybody else want to share?
This is Misty. I'm going to respond to your question in self-evaluation. You know, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about when I was a child, I spoke as a child, thought as a child, and reasoned as a child, something like that. But that's where I've been. You know, the Lord has been just showing me, and I can see the transformation in myself as to my thinking and how I reason through different things that has been coming up in my life personally. And that's been a strong place in my life for the last couple of months, where I'm being intentional about listening when situations arise and how I process through Christ my responses or my behavior and action. Another thing that you're kind of in my declaration for tomorrow, but another thing that I looked at were the stages of development spiritually, coming from an infant to a child to a young adult to a mature Christian. And it's not based on my education level or how much time I've been in church. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it takes me to do that self-evaluation and listen intentionally again to what the Lord is speaking into my soul, that I may mature in Christ, again, being a better disciple, to help to bring another person along, as you just said. It's that self-evaluation and listening intently to what the Spirit is speaking into my soul and what I'm speaking out of my mouth and thinking in my own head. But that's where I've been for these last few weeks. And when I think on these things, it just helps me to stay aware that I don't go into situations based on my emotions or my own thought process. It needs to be double-checked through the Word and be able to stand in the Word, and for me to recognize that when I'm thinking on my own accord and trying to, because then I'll get into manipulative behaviors.
Right.
So when I'm in my own thoughts, I'm trying to manipulate the outcome of a situation to get my best feel out of it.
But if I
take that minute to process through the Word and what I know as a Christian and my belief in Christ, the way I address the situation becomes different. So that's where I'm at in my evaluation. Thank you for bringing that question up. It's a very relevant question for me to be able to sit and have this conversation. These aren't the conversations I have every day. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anybody else want to share? Look, I'm asking y'all to share, and I ain't sharing. Let me share my personal assessment. So in what area of my thinking is God pulling me to grow my perspective? Grace. For me, it's grace. I've always been internally a gracious person. Like, I will forgive anybody for anything. That's just me. Like, I believe in, like, forgiveness. However, sometimes I battled with it because it's a calling for me. Grace is a calling. Like, everybody doesn't possess the same amount of grace. Some people offer way more grace. When I say offer, I mean offer. Like, you don't have to squeeze their neck to offer grace. But for me, it's grace. And I want to kind of put this perspective out there for someone who may be struggling with grace, maybe be toward a loved one or strangers, your boss, just anybody that you come in contact with. So the importance that it comes to mind is really that, so God's grace is sufficient, right? He forgives us daily, hourly, momentarily for things, and he offers his grace. And so it's important for us to do the same thing for people that we come in contact with. And how I remember to do that is by ensuring that I offer, think from the perspective of God. If God is offering me grace for something, why can't I offer that same amount of grace? 70 times 7 is always a thought of mine whenever I'm dealing with an issue where I need to practice more grace. And that just means that, yes, 70 times 7 can be calculated. However, the point is that you lose track of calculation. That's the whole perspective. And so I need to grow in that area so that whenever something, an offense is committed against me, that I think from the eyesight of God, that I'm thinking that, okay, God is showing me grace every day when it comes to small things, large things, medium things, however I see it in my small, finite mind, but that I should do the same thing, you know? So that's important. And I think we should go ahead and continue to remember that as we continue on our day. So anybody else want to share? Anybody else? And I'm not going to twist anybody's arm. If you don't, that's fine. If you do, that's fine. So remember, we're talking about growing our perspective and why that's important. If anybody's late arriving on the train, we're talking about growing our perspective, how we can improve our thoughts, how we can improve our thoughts about the things of God in our lives and how we see our lives and what we're going through, what we're doing, and what we're dealing with, be it, you know, death, life, battling trials and tribulations, or battling in relationships, battling in our ideas of how things should be, because sometimes we can practice self-sabotage. Self-sabotage, like Ms. D said, we can self-sabotage by thinking, manipulating our own thinking and our own thoughts by saying things like, oh, you know, I think it'll turn out this way, or this is the way I want it to turn out, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, God has ordained and orchestrated things in our lives to happen the way they're supposed to happen, when they're supposed to happen, and how they're supposed to happen the way He wants them to happen. It's not about us. Nothing is about us. Nothing we go through is about us. Nothing that we deal with is about us. It's all about making sure that God gets the glory that He deserves, because it is a testimony that will testify, speak the goodness of Jesus, that will encourage someone else. Everything we go through, we have to put it into the perspective of, I'm going through this to help somebody else. I'm not going through this for me. I'm going through it to show me some things, but in essence, the objective is to help somebody else. We are to be a witness. If we're not going through anything, we can't be a witness. If we're not going through anything, we can't testify. If we're not going through anything, we have never experienced anything, we can't be disciples. Like, how can you disciple someone to a God that you've never experienced, bring you out of some things that you're trying to explain away to somebody? You can't. It's impossible. We have to speak from experience. That's the most relevant way, especially in these days and times. Dealing with millennials and these kids that are coming up that have so many questions, we have to be able to have answers. And we can't just be like, oh, Google it, or so-and-so went through it. No, I need to be able to speak from experience. Look, you can't go through, you should not be dealing with that, or you don't have to go through that alone. And I'm going to tell you why. I went through it, and this is how I dealt with it. They don't want to hear, oh, just don't do it. They want to hear your experience. They want to hear how you overcame something. By the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. So although you're testifying with your words, the blood is covered. The blood has brought you out. And that's the whole purpose, that we have to remember to grow our perspective so that we change our outlook and change the way we see and view things that we've experienced, things that we're currently going through, and the future of things. If you change your perspective now, then the things that you're going to go through later on, you're not even worried about it. You're like, okay, I'm just going to go through it because I need to go through it, and I'm here to testify for somebody. Like, I'm just going to go through this trial and this valley and this tunnel with that perspective. Anybody else want to share?
Hi, my name is Gloria. How are you?
I'm excellent, Gloria. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for the declaration this morning, the reminder of how important it is always to do a self-check and a self-reminder, because It's only, well, what I'm learning is that it's only by doing honest assessment of my own self and where I'm at and how I'm responding do I actually get to see if I'm growing or if this is some more area that you need to work on. And so when it's just a blessing to be able to know that God has given us this relationship with him so that we're always continuously, as long as we live, now that we have him, have to keep doing self-assessment in order to keep seeing that we're, see if we're growing or be submissive in the test. So
right.
I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Anybody else want to share?
It's Dee Dee again. I want to thank you for that grace, that growing in grace reminder too, because I know that's an area for me. Just thinking about how God's so gracious with me when people do things, and I try to have, you know, we go through. Well, I'm better, much better now, but that just growing in grace is very huge and big. So thank you, sis, for that nice reminder. And then you had to hit me with that. You're 30, and I want to tell you. Thank you for, my children are 29, how are they, 29, 27, and 23, and then I have six, and what it was from 20 to 30 is what their ages are, but they are at such a different place in their life than I was at the under 30 age, so just thank you for being such a wise person to help us little more mature saints continue to grow, so love you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that feedback. Love you, too. And it's, you know, it's, I find that it's hard and it's easy at the same time. When God gives you the grace, we're going to use that word again, when God gives you the grace for something, that means he's equipped you for whatever it is that you're about to go through and the things that you're going through currently. And so if it's something that we're battling with, if we're battling with grace, it's usually because that's the weapon that's going to help us to overcome other things that are in our lives, and we need that. That's so important. I didn't realize how important grace was until I needed grace, and I know somebody else can attest to that. Like, you really don't know what you need until you actually need it. You know, you really don't take into consideration your blessings until you actually need a blessing. You don't really understand the magnitude of a miracle until you actually in the heat of needing a miracle, you know, whether it be financial, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Like, it's God works that way. He works. He's created us to be dependent on him and dependent on him alone. And if we acknowledge that we are dependent on Christ and we need him more than we need ourselves and we need him more than we need anybody else and we need him more than life itself, even the day that we're saying is all good, we need God more than we need that day. You know, and when we use our finite minds to really gravitate to that God is more important than the day ahead, then we've already grasped the concept of how important God is, how faithful he is, how good he is to allow us to see us through, to see us through the trials and to see us through the other side of the things that we've been dealing with that have clouded our judgment in the past. Because a lot of times it's something that he's trying to show us. If we're repeating a test, it's usually because our perspective hasn't grown. Our perspective has not grown from that last thing that we went through if it's repeating itself in another phase. And that's all life is. You know, you could be dealing with something 1 minute and then maybe a couple weeks or a couple months down the line, you're dealing with that same thing. It just has a different cover on its face. And then you're like, I feel like, did I just, you know, am I going through deja vu? Yeah, no, you're not going through deja vu. You just didn't pass that last test. That means you didn't grow your perspective from the last thing that you went through. If it had to show up again in your face as a different person, as a different idea, as a different thought, that means your perspective, your vision of it, how you see it, your reality of it has not changed. And the moment it changes, the moment your perspective is grown, then God can use you to another and take you to another level where you're able to see things on a more mature level and you're able to walk to the next step to say, okay, now I can take on this next thing. But you're never going to get to the next thing if you're constantly, you know, forfeiting the last one. We have to grow bigger and we have to grow better.
bigger isn't always better. So that's why I like to say grow bigger and grow better, because you can be bigger, but you don't have to be better. You know, people always say, oh, you need to be the bigger person. Being the bigger person, the size don't matter. It's the weight. The weight
inside. You better teach, little mama. Teach.
So, you know, we have to maintain that idea. We have to maintain that idea. That's all God wants. That's all he wants. He wants to be that weight that he's throwing around in your life, and that you acknowledge that he's doing it. It doesn't matter what God is doing in your life if you don't acknowledge it, because he's going to do something until you acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. So if you acknowledge him, then the things that are ahead of you, they're already set. And he's already right there with you. People always say, oh, I want God to be with me. God is always with you. However, he's with you, but he's also around you. He's behind you. He's under you. He's above you. He's next to you. He walks with me, and he talks with me on a daily basis because I acknowledge him. My path is set because I acknowledge Christ. That's my job, is to acknowledge him, give him the glory, tell of his goodness, say it's all good, grow my perspective, think on these things, and it's all good. I can't walk through my day being negative Nancy and expect God to do some miraculous things in my life, be it big or small. If I want $1 million, I can't keep saying I'm broke. If I want $1 million, I can't keep saying I'm poor. I can't keep pulling my pockets open thinking that something is going to manifest in my pocket if I'm not believing it's going to manifest in my pocket. I don't mean to be, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but that was just an example that came out. It's important that we grow our perspective. We have to stop thinking on these broke mentality. Like, this is so washed out that we think on such small scales. God is a big God. He's rich. And I don't mean just in money, but he's rich in resources. He don't need nothing we have. He wants our bodies, and he don't even need that. He wants our bodies to show us who he is. That's all he wants us for. He don't want us for no other reason but to glorify himself, because he knows he's good. In fact, if it was up to me, I would go to Webster and have them change the definition in the book where the word says good, it should, good equals God. That literally should be what it says, because there's no other definition that's greater than that. There's no definition of good that exceeds the power and greatness of God. Anybody else want to say anything?
Good morning. This is Sister Carolyn. Thank you so much for your share. Wow. Wow, what a blessing. My perspective, what I've been through, am I thinking about that? Wow. Thank you for that push. That is so deep. And yeah, what is more than God? Wow. Oh, wow. Got to share it. Oh, thank you. Oh, God bless you. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for sharing, opening your mouth like that. I'm like, what? I was woke up. Get up now. Get on the call now. Hallelujah. Now.
Thank you so much.
You
thank
speaking?
You so much.
Listen for like 10, 15. I'm like, what? My daughter got to hear this today. Wow.
For real. For real.
Thank you. For real, for real.
Thank
my daughter's
so
24. And my baby's all
well,
in their 20s.
Now you can help her to grow her perspective and whatever. And it doesn't mean that she's lacking in a major way, but just sometimes young people need to just hear from a different perspective. And if yours is grown, then you have the capacity to reach those who have not grown, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to embrace the parts of you that you've struggled with previously. And once you overcome, then you're able to draw from that well that you've overcome and say, hey, look, you know, I went through this, I went through that. But you have to be transparent, and you have to be honest, and you have to be open and vulnerable. That's the only way we can reach people. We have to reach people with the vulnerable depths of who we are, because that's how God reaches us. He's opened himself up and created a book of the vulnerable things of himself. That's all the Bible is God being vulnerable about who he is. And in that, you see the goodness of God. So when we're vulnerable, that's how people see the goodness in us. Imagine when you meet somebody and you've never met them before, and they say, oh, you know, that person, she's nice. You know, I've never really, haven't talked to her too much, but, like, she, something is really attractive about her spirit. Like, she's really cool, you know, and she's just, you know, upfront, and, you know, I feel really connected with her. There is a sense of, that that comes with vulnerability. When you open yourself up to giving and receiving the goodness of God and the kindness thereof, then people understand the weight of what it means to open up and be legit. That's all people want, is because you can be like, you know, you meet people and you're like, man, they so fake, they so phony. And it almost comes off immediately. But then there's those people who you're having a conversation with and you're conversing with, and you're like, man, I really, like, I don't know much about them, but I really feel a connection. Like, they feel so warm to me, you know? And it's usually, you'll find out, in a lot of cases, you'll find out that that person is a Christian. A lot of times that happens to me. It ain't every time, but, and then the ones that aren't, it makes me wonder, like, I wonder what they would be like if they were saved. Like, if you this sweet, you know, and you don't profess salvation, like, we need to have the sinner's prayer right now so you can become saved. Like, I mean, geez, we can't waste this moment. You know, so there has to be a sense of vulnerability in our lives that we are able to kindly draw. You know, draw. We don't want to push or force, but kindly draw. And vulnerability does that. It gives people a sense to want to be a part of something that you're a part of. You know, and that's what God does with his word. He's laid it out for us. He's been vulnerable. He's vulnerable about what upsets him, what makes him happy, what makes him grieve, what makes him love us even farther or harder. He's given us it's a manuscript of how to live right and how to love God. It's literally all there. We struggle because we have no idea of how to live, but we struggle. But that's what the word is there for. And so in all of that, we just have to remember it's all good. No matter what, it's all good. It's good. It's good. It's good. How you doing, girl? I'm good. We take that for granted. And then half the time, sometimes we don't even mean it. It's just so robotic for us to say, oh, I'm good. And then sometimes we say, I'm good. Well, you don't say I'm good. So we have to be more intentional, 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 intentional. What's that man's name? Travis Green made a song about God being intentional. Intentional. He's always, God is always intentional. He has so much intent inside of him that he wants us to have that same intention, to be intentional.
Wow.
So I thank you so much.
I know I've heard you before. I know you're Dion Denise. What's your name again?
Raven.
Raven.
Almost like the bird, just spelled differently. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, again, I can share, but this is a check for where I am today. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you so much, and God bless you also.
Thank you.
That is my niece. This is Tanya. Dion is not still in that thunder. That girl comes from this.
Get it right.
He could be Dion.
Look, I'm everybody's niece right now. I could be your niece, too. It's okay. There's plenty of love for me to go around.
You're my niece, too. This is Dee Dee. I'm your auntie.
I'm my niece, too.
I'm your favorite auntie.
Oh, gosh.
I'm your new auntie. All right. Amen.
Yes,
auntie. Yes.
Hey, Raven. This is Sabrina. This is Sabrina. While everybody's trying to lay claim to you.
Hi, Bree.
Hey, honey bun. I just wanted to say that you encouraged my heart this morning for so many reasons. I don't often talk about it, but the one or two times when I do talk about how I got through the hardest part of my life, it was absolutely attributed to making an intentional effort to change my perspective. One of the things that I always reflect on is that everything the Lord does, he does it well. And so just grabbing a hold to that really helped propel me to the next place, which was out of the hard place that I was in. But beyond that, I just want to say that you give me hope. Just last night, I was talking to my oldest daughter about the lost generation when it comes to serving God. And, you know, we often talk about in the church, where did that generation go? And just hearing you speak today gave me hope that the entire generation has not been lost. To hear you teach so soundly just gives me hope that there are still young worshipers out there. And my heart's prayer is that they will hear your teaching and reunite to come back home and serve God with the same fervency that you have. I love you. I'm sending you hugs, and I can't wait to see you again.
Thank you. Love you.
Anybody else want to share?
Good morning, Raven. This is Juliet. And
good morning.
Definitely agree with Sabrina. I'm sitting here listening, you know, thinking about your youth and how much wisdom you have. And it makes me think of, you know, the children of Israel right before they were about to take that journey to the promised land. You know, God, because of the disobedience, they ended up wandering for 40 years. But there were two young people. And there was Joshua and Caleb, you know. And every time I hear people like yourself and Moses, the young people that get on the line, it encourages my soul, you know, because I go out every day and I'm working with young people in the middle school. And sometimes, you know, just seeing how, the way they act, it's like, Lord, any young person, you know, that I can reach or I can touch in some kind of way to, you know, that will continue to further this journey, you know, like she was saying. And so to hear you guys speaking like that, you know, it just really encourages my heart. You know, I've been listening to you this morning, and you've definitely encouraged me to see my day differently, to make sure I'm careful about what I say, you know. And it's like my teacher said years ago, it's easier to act your way into a new way of feeling than to feel your way into a new way of acting. And this is kind of like what you're saying to me today. But yeah,
that is good. I love that.
Enjoy that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really, really, like, you just preached at home. So, you know, I'll open the floor back up. I just wanted to say this. It's important that, like I said earlier, if we've gone through things, we have to testify to them. Doesn't mean you go out spreading all your business, but being vulnerable of the whereabouts. And what I mean by that is, the who, what, when, where, why, and how is not necessary. The who is necessary. The necessary part is who, God is who, and the what is important, because we want to know what God has brought us out of and what God has brought us through and what God has walked us through. And so the what and the who is important. The other things, they don't matter. You know, we're not writing an essay. We're just talking about the goodness of God. I grew up in a Kojic church, and... whenever it was time to testify, if anybody got up and they started bragging on the devil's works and how the devil tried to kill me, he tried to kill us all. Let's hear about the goodness of Jesus. And they would say that. Like, they would cut the person off and be like, tell of his goodness. You know, so we have to remember that even with our own thoughts. And it always translates as that person has gotten carried away and whatever in that moment, and they've completely gotten derailed and distracted from the thing and the purpose of why they stood up, and they went on too long about what wasn't right. And so we have to do that thing up to our own selves. I literally, you guys are going to probably laugh, but I do that to myself. Like, it's translated into my life. If I'm starting to dwell and think too much on something that's going dumb in my life, something that's stupid, like, I'll be like, tell his goodness, think of his goodness in my head. Like, I say that, it's so weird. But, like, that helps me, because it's like, why dwell on something that is not, that you don't feel, you know, that you're not feeling good about? Put your perspective on the one that can change how you feel, not the feeling that you feel. Somebody needs to mute their line. So we have to be intentional about speaking about the one that can change how we feel. So it's fine to feel a thing. It's fine to feel a way. It's fine to feel discouraged. It's okay to feel pain. It's okay to feel lost and lonely, because if we don't feel those things, then we will not know what it's like to trust the one who can change how we feel, and we won't be able to identify that. We'll always feel sad if we've never been
If we've never trusted on the one who can change that and make us and give us the joy that we need. You know, so we have to focus and think on those things. We have to be more intentional about the thing, thinking on the good of the thing and focusing on the one who brings the good, the one who is good, the one who's always good, the one who is forever, the lasting, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the one. You know, there's not one time that even in Jesus, as I brought up earlier, even in Jesus' grief over Lazarus, did he stay there, sulk, and mourn? He didn't do that. He didn't stay in it. He cried for a little bit, then he was like, all right, I got all power in my hands. Lazarus, get up. And I believe that had he not spoken directly to Lazarus, then probably my grandfather likes to say this all the time, and I thought that same thing, that if he wouldn't say, if he hadn't said, Lazarus, get up, then all the dead people in the graveyard probably would have got up. But he spoke to Lazarus. So you have to think on that. When Jesus is speaking to you, he's speaking to you. He's asking you to get up. Get up out of your feelings, James. Get up out of your feelings, Raven. You're doing too much. You're sleeping there too long. Don't fall asleep in your feelings. Don't do it. Because you'll wake up still in that same pit that you left it in. Like, don't do it. Realize the good. Grow the perspective and move on. Once you grow that perspective, you don't get to sit there and then continue to play ping pong with it. Grow it up, give it to God, and let it go and move on. Go to the next task. Somebody's line is still not muted. We can hear all your body rolls and actions that you're doing in the background.
Good morning, Raven.
Good morning.
This is Pretty Patrice. You are amazing. How old are you?
I'm 30. I'll be 31 in April.
Amazing. I thought so.
Thank you so much.
So the perspective that I have been trying to be enlightened with is my revelation knowledge of God. And not just knowing who he is, but having a personal relationship. Not falling asleep every time I open up my Bible. So I start standing up and studying and walking around the house. So my husband's like, why are you standing? I said, baby, if I don't stand, I'm going to fall asleep. It happens every time. So now when I read his word, I understand what I'm reading. Because I kept praying and kept praying, God, I need to understand what I'm reading. I need to know what I'm reading about. Mm-hmm. And it didn't sound like, oh, for out thou's and, you know, what it used to feel and sound like when I was much younger. But I just want to encourage you to continue to do what you're doing. I finally have the Holy Ghost boldness that I've been praying for, that other people said that I had and saw in me, I feel that I have and know that I have it. Just want to be closer to him so that I can be a vessel that he can use to glorify his kingdom, to build his kingdom.
That's good. That's good. I love that. That's good. I'm glad you found your place. Because that's important. We all have a place, and some of us are wandering because we don't know our place. But in order for the chain to be complete, every link has to have its place. It has to be in where it belongs. And we are a reflection of each other. If you're weak, then we're all weak. If you're strong, then we're all strong. But if the next person is weak and you're strong, and you're next to them, it's your objective and your job and your mandate to help that person become strong. There is no weakest link in the body of Christ. It shouldn't be. That's our job, to uplift each other and ensure that we are being the light, and that we are the encouraging people that we profess to be, that we read about. We are the Bible characters in modern day, but we have to live out the triumphant parts of who we are so that the word is complete. God never ends on a negative. No story in the Bible ends incomplete where you're left off feeling, but what good was it? It doesn't exist. It's all good. And why is good? Because it ends with the glory of God. It ends with God having the last say. The Satan will never defeat God's people. It looks like it. It looks like he defeated the children of Israel. It looks like he used Pharaoh to break up what God set up. But he didn't. God allowed Moses to part a complete sea, to walk them people through probably their one of their darkest valleys. It wasn't that just that they got on the other side and were disobedient and nagged their way back into a pit, but they saw freedom. They saw freedom, and then after seeing freedom, they discouraged them on their own selves. And then they start being nagging and begging. It's like, oh, can we have some bread? Can we have this? Like, we do that to ourselves. We experience the goodness, and then sometimes we'll talk ourselves back into a valley. We'll talk ourselves back into a pit. And then God is right there to pull us back out. Ain't that something? Like, he's right there to catch us when we jump off. Sometimes it's like, there, you know, he'll be there to catch you when you fall. Yeah, but he'll be there when you jump, too, because sometimes we just jump, and we don't care. We ain't thinking about the circumstances. We ain't thinking about the repercussions. We're not thinking about anything. We just being selfish and we'll jump. And some of us are even so calloused that we're like, well, I'm going to do it anyway because I know God going to be right there. Yeah, until the day he's not. But he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. But you have to at least think that, why do I take advantage of the fact that God is so kind and so nice and so diligent, so loving and so merciful and gracious? At some point, grace will run out and turn into mercy. We don't want to be living on mercy. We don't want to go into permissive will. I want to be in God's divine will as much as possible. Because I don't want to run out. I don't want to run out. I want to run in. I want to run into him. I don't want to run out of his hand. His hand is too mighty. It's too big. It's too strong. It's too powerful.
Amen.
I hope
Thank
you were
Raven.
Encouraged.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure. Anybody else?
Hi, Raven. This is Sonia. You
Hi,
said
Sonia.
Something that touched me earlier is when you were speaking with your children, giving them, speaking that daily affirmation, but how they use their tongue. And I'm sitting here getting dressed for work and pulling out my vitamins. And God spoke to me about vitamin. It's just like a vitamin that we take. You know how we take our vitamins every day to nourish our body. You were speaking with your children to nourish their soul, their spirit, and how they were speaking and commanding their day.
Yes.
And he broke this down to me about vitamins, is that it's our victory intentionally taken, affirmed, making it intended and necessary for us to make a sound in the atmosphere, because we're commanding it wherever we go. Because wherever he's, like he told Joshua, wherever the sole of your foot goes, he was going to be with us. So he said, be encouraged. So you have excited me today. So I'm commanding my day, and I thank you.
That's good. Oh, goodness. You just gave us a whole acronym. So you got to repeat that. What was that acronym again?
It is, let me get back to it because I had to write it down for myself because I'm going to speak it all day today. Victory intentionally taken, affirmed, making, intended, necessary, a sound.
That's deep. That's deeper than the ocean. Love it, love it. So we got to take our vitamins. We have to take our vitamins. Nobody's going to force our vitamins down our throat, right? We have to take them. That's a voluntary action. Vitamins are necessary, but they're not a necessity. So meaning we don't have to physically take vitamins. Nobody's going to force those vitamins down our throat, but we have to take them. We have to take action. We have to take the initiative. You go buy the vitamins. That's not something that's prescribed, you know? So that's important. That's important. I like that. I like that. Anybody else? Anybody else? We are talking about growing our perspective and why that's important, why God requires that of us, what that means to us. And if anybody wants to share the areas in their life where they know God is pulling and tugging on them to grow their perspective. If you want to share that, it's actually a personal assessment, but if you want to share that aloud, you can. I shared mine earlier about, as we're getting ready to close soon, but I did share mine about grace and how God has been calling and pulling me to increase my intentions as it relates to grace and being more aware of why we need grace and how we need grace and how gracious God is toward us. But how it changes the command of our day. It really does. When you walk into a room and you decide that, hey, I want to be more intentional with grace today. if somebody stepped on your foot, don't be so quick to get mad. You know, maybe they stepped on your foot because they had a swelling in theirs and it wasn't intentional. You know, I think that's what I'm starting to use my mind to access, those, unlock those doors that, you know, maybe the person that was driving too fast on the freeway and cut me off, maybe they're going to an emergency. You know, maybe it's not that they're just being a jerk. You know, sometimes people are going through things also. You're not the only one that goes through things, and you're not the only one that needs grace. We all need grace. We are all offered grace by God. So why not offer grace to others around us? We're not, nobody's perfect. The only perfect person, the only perfect being is God. God is perfect. We're not perfect. And we like to flaunt in that statement, well, I'm not perfect. Well, okay, well, they not either. So don't expect something to be sent to you that you're not willing to mail and stamp to somebody else. So if anybody else wants to share, the floor is open.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Ravonda.
Hi, Ravonda.
Hi. I want to say this, because I love the change in your perspective this morning. Wonderful share. And I want to point this wonderful thing out. The sound that we hear from you is the sound that is made when you raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Hey, hallelujah. And I think the youth that I hear is the youthfulness in your voice, and that's what serving the Lord and loving the Lord will do. It will preserve you. Because if most of us think about where we were at 30, because you the way your voice sounds, we hear the youth like maybe a teen. You know, I think that's what we hear. That's that preservative, honey, that's going to keep you a long time.
That's in my genes. I know y'all see my auntie now.
Yes, baby, because you don't look 30, okay? That's what the Holy Spirit will do. You know, that's the tutelage and, you know, sitting up in Sunday school and sitting up underneath the saints and being around the godliness and the goodliness of the Lord, you know. And this is where this is what's supposed to happen when you do that. You know, it's supposed to happen. And what I wanted to do is say this one thing, because we'll say what happened, you know, to a generation. And like my sister said, it's just good to hear, you know, your generation is doing this turnaround thing, you know, and it might take a minute to turn the ship around. You know, but it happens. Doctor, get some money. It takes some. I'll put some money on your card. Okay. All right. Have a great day. All right. It takes some time to turn
the money on it. Yeah.
I did. I made sure I put some on it, honey. Because she will call me. Don't get it twisted. Love you too, babe. This is what it sounds like when your life has been one that your parents have exposed you and have done some really good things. And so we're encouraged today, because even when we think that those who are in your age group, and I don't want to continue talking on that path as if, you know, God doesn't have anybody over there in the wing, because he told Elijah, why are you up underneath the tree, you know, tripping? Mm-hmm. I got some folks who ain't bowed, you know.
Right,
so
right.
It's good to know that, and you know, keep going, you know, and it's good to see. But the thing is, see, y'all ain't sounding like how we sounded when we was 30, because it was a different day and age. You know, you guys are now what we would call a demonstration, a relevant demonstration. You know, because you're gonna touch somebody that Ravonda ain't gonna be able to touch. You know, because it's relative. You're basically in the same. You've been in that place, you know, and you're gonna say, you know, I experienced that, but guess what? God is still good, you know.
Right.
So when I think about me at 30, you know, I had children, you know, I was, how the grown folks say, I was keeping house, you know, I was married, you know, I had a lot of things that, you know, I had to do, and the temperature of the community and everything was different. So we sounded different. Our sound was different. But God has prepared a generation that will be risen up that, you know what, they can't say that we prayed them in and they can't say that we did anything. This is a work of God, you know.
Yeah.
Even when there, it seems as if there has been a generation that has been detached, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an edict that has gone forth that was against the children of Israel, and it was even against the children in our community. But God is faithful that he's raised up a generation, you know, that's able, that ain't going to look like us, that ain't going to sound like us. So, baby, keep going. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Don't mean to rattle off, honey, but I'm just excited to hear this.
You're fine. Thank you so much. We have time for one more person, and then we're going to close it down. Good morning.
Good morning, Raven. This is Renee. You probably know me as Bernetta. And I'm opening my office.
Bernetta.
And I'm like, oh, my bamboo saying, Lord Jesus. Oh, my God. And you know what? I know. Oh, God. Girl, you brought the word, and I just appreciate you. I'm so proud of you. The blessing that I received, too, and that I can concur with is you just bringing up your children in the word of God, because you – as you know, me and my son, Terrell, and my son, Terrell, he deals with a mental illness. He deals with schizophrenia and bipolar. And so I know that the word of God and me just giving him the word, you know, as he was younger, and when I go visit him, as I did just yesterday, he's still saying, Mama, let's pray. And he can repeat scriptures that I have given him, even with what he's battling with his diagnosis. So I just want to say I'm praise God just to hearing your share this morning, and just let you know that I'm so proud of you and this generation and what God is doing in you and through you all, and continue to let your light shine. I'm just so proud of you. It's good to hear your voice. And I know
you
have brought that word because you have grown up in a Bible teaching church. So definitely proud of you.
Love Johnny, you. I said, hey.
I will.
All right. Guys, it is 1:58, so I'm going to give y'all 1 minute back. Ain't that good? It was a pleasure to share with you guys and just have a chit-chat, and you all have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Do the same, Raven. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Raven.
Thank you, Raven.
Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Raven. Everybody have a blessed day. Love you guys.
Thank you so much, Raven. You are truly a blessing, baby. Bye-bye.